The reading for tonight, the passage is Nehemiah 5, verses 15 through 19. The former governors who were before me laid heavy burdens on the people and took food and wine from them, besides 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants lorded it over the people. But I did not do so because of the fear of God. Indeed, I devoted myself to the work on this wall and acquired no land, and all my servants were gathered there for work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 people, Jews and officials, besides those who came to us from the nations around us. Now that which was prepared for one day was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and every 10 days skins of wine in abundance. Yet with all this I did not demand the food allowance of the governor, because of the heavy burden of labor on the people. Remember for my good, O my God, all that I have done for this people. This is the word of the Lord.
My name's Loretta. I am a member here at Church Without Walls. And I've been really enjoying this series on Nehemiah. I think not just because I am here sharing tonight from Nehemiah, but I feel that it's been a really rich and good text for us to be in. I also felt that way about James, which was our series before that, so I don't know, I might be biased. But I think that there's just been a lot of richness in this word has been very applicable, I guess, to me, and I feel like to our community. And Nehemiah's really got me thinking a lot about work. There's this work. I think Paul Wilson last week was joking how it was funny that this is all, we're studying this book, we're Church Without Walls, about all this work about building a wall. Isn't that, like, ironic? And I think that Bora tried to set the stage for us as she gave the first talk about what the work of building that wall really was. And it got me thinking really about, like, my own work and the work that God is calling me to. Building a wall, not building a wall, whatever that is, whatever that meant to the people then and whatever maybe that means to us today. It was a work that God was calling them to. And the work that we each do is very, it's often we spend a lot of our time doing that work. For myself, I kind of have this like meh job that's like, you know, I'm a computer programmer and I won't go into any more detail because all of your eyes will glaze over except for a few, Hans and maybe Matt who know about that. But it's all like beep, beep, boop, boop, you know, like that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's not, I don't feel like, oh, I'm going to work. I'm going to move this data from here to there. Oh, it's going to be awesome. Praise God. Like, that's not the work that I do. It has been my vocation for a long time. I've been doing it since I was, like, in college. I was, like, I don't know, I think 19. And it's just not that kind of thing. We're part of this church. Many of us have deep feelings about justice, you know, so many of you like work in the public schools or work at a charter school or work in reconciliation stuff with like at-risk youth. It's like, wow, that feels like real in the justice sphere. And mine doesn't feel that way because all I do is like write code. And if I didn't do it, somebody else would. And, you know, it doesn't really matter in the big picture. But then I do a lot of other work too, right? I do some work for Jeff, who owns a company called Third Strand. So I do some programming work for him. I mean, that's kind of, but in the same vein, we don't do, I don't know, Jeff, don't be offended, but we don't bring a lot of justice, I don't feel like, in our work. I don't know if he's here, maybe he's not, so let's keep it between us. but then I also do work here at church. You know, I don't get paid for it, but that's not really what defines work. And I would say I've been here at church for quite a few years. I've worn a lot of different hats. I've done a lot of different things. I used to, I think it's like something I was not that great at, but I was willing and able, and often that's all we require, is for you being willing and functional as a human. You know, you're going to last through the time period that we need you for. And I would meet with like the high schoolers after the sermon. And But those high schoolers are like all graduates now of college, which I can't believe that, but it's been a long time. I mean, I've also, you know, and different things have had more or less feeling like, oh, this is my thing. We used to have a prayer meeting, and I would lead worship at it. And I am a competent guitar player. That is something I can do, a skill that I have. But I am not a worship leader. Like, Michael's not thinking, oh, I sure hope Loretta doesn't want to lead worship at CWOW because I'm going to be some competition. I'm not. When I first learned to play the guitar, we would take turns, each of us leading at my small group at InterVarsity in college. And my staff worker, Janice, came to me and said, you know what's great about you, Loretta? I was like, no, Janice, tell me. And she said, you know, when you lead worship at our small group, and I was like, all right, I didn't even think I was thinking to myself, I'm not that good, this is awesome. She's like, you start the song. You're off key, but you start it. And I was like, oh, well, anyway, that wasn't totally what I was hoping for. But I can't say that wasn't accurate. No, I mean, I do not sing on key, right? So while it's something I could do, it wasn't maybe, you know, a deep work that God was calling me to. And I think that that's how our lives go. I've done a lot of different things here at church, and some things more or less are meeting a deeper need in me. Doing the kind of work that Nehemiah has called the people to, that Nehemiah has been called to, that all of these people to. Wendy talked about how, you know, all these people were not bricklayers, which would have been perfect for what they were doing. But like the perfumer, you would think if I was a perfumer, I mean, I'm not sure. I did hear a podcast about what they do, but I'm not really sure what they did back then. But I sense, right, making things smell good. And they're like laying brick. That doesn't make sense. Shouldn't they be working on making everyone smell better after they've done all that bricklaying? Like run the bathhouse sense or something like that. But God doesn't always call us to a thing that's our skill set or that we can do or that we can do competently or we can do well. Sometimes God calls us to the work and the thing that God is doing to participate with him, that our community is doing to participate with one another. And sometimes he calls us to do a thing that makes us know, oh, that's right, it's not me. It's about what God is doing and me participating with that and not so much about like, well, I'm pretty competent, you know, I could probably, you know, I can get through, I know G, C, D. I mean, what other chords do you need for worship songs? Not that many is the answer. So we're going to get back to some of my work history later, but I want to get back to Nehemiah and sort of what's going on. I'm pretty sure that Bruce showed a map kind of similar. I love a map. You know, if you're like me, if anybody out there also loves a map, I know one person who does. So, yeah, got a little shout out. And so this is a map of the Persian Empire during the time of Nehemiah. And the way that this empire was structured and sort of the way the government worked was you had the king and his household, and all of that was maintained by the people below him. So that would be, they were called satraps, which is like a super weird name, and I'm probably saying it wrong. But it's like regional, they would be like people who are over the governors. So this would be somebody who's over Nehemiah. And the satraps, their responsibility was to maintain the king and his household. Their household was maintained by the people below them, the governors. And then the governor's household was maintained by the people below them. That would be us, the low people who are just the worker bee people in that society. It included slaves and, you know, slightly higher than the slaves would be the merchant class, voluntary slaves, a lot of different kinds of people. And each of these households, the kings and the satraps and the governors, they all maintained some people whose job it was to go extract what they needed out of the people below them. So the king has people who are going to the satraps and saying, hey, you got to pay up. We have in our books, you only paid this. And they're like, check's in the mail, it's coming. And, you know, so they're doing all of that. And then it's the same going down and down. So it kind of looks like this, where the king's on top and the satraps and the governor and then the people. But the people have the least, right? They're like subsistence farmers. Hopefully they're subsisting. And as the households of the king gets more ostentatious, then the satraps are like, the king's living pretty good. I want to live more like that. So their households getting more ostentation, and so on and so forth. And a lot of the trouble that the Persian Empire had as it ebbed and flowed throughout its history, it came down to this problem of a household or a king being wanting too much parties, not enough doing good things for the people below them. Kind of bad leadership. I think that in this, in these verses, Nehemiah sort of alludes to that he knows the governors who went before him, and they put a hard burden on the people. And when the burden gets too hard, then different levels of people will revolt. Sometimes a satrap would revolt, sometimes governors, and they go back and forth. And sometimes one time, one guy put down a rebellion, only 20 years later to be the guy having the rebellion himself. So it's a lot of pressure going back and forth and trying to extract, ultimately from people who don't have very much, all of this kind of ostentatious living. And so these lessons that Nehemiah is learning from this history of the Persian Empire just leading up to his time is, if all of them had studied it, maybe we would all be part of the Persian Empire right now. So the first thing I want to talk about with Nehemiah, I think Bruce had said that he came from Susa. He was a cupbearer to the king. He is not one of the people being taxed. He's being supplied by the people. That was his, he was part of that household. So things were, coming, kind of easy, really, for him. But he didn't take his identity in that. He took his identity in the people of God. When the visitors came and said how the walls of Jerusalem were still in shambles, it impacted him. He knew that those were his people. That was the identity he had. He prayed and he poured himself out to God over that. And he knew the history. He knew the history of the people of God. He knew the history of the place where he was going. He knew some of the history of the Persian Empire leading up to that point, to have known that those governors did not treat them well in Judah, in the governorship of Judah. And he prayed. So his identity started with knowing the history, started with knowing who he was. And then as he heard about something bad, he prayed about it. And I think he even started lamenting even then. Michael, when he shared with us, he said the first thing that Nehemiah did when he got to Jerusalem, and that maybe, I think it was dark, because I remember Michael being like, it was really hard, it would be really hard to walk around those shambles with it so dark and dangerous. But the first thing he did was to go and see the suffering and destruction that the people the place that he was at had endured. He's lamenting for the people. And when, I think that Michael also mentioned that, Americans, we're a little bit allergic to lamenting. It's not culturally something that we do. There's not a lot of, sitcoms about, oh yeah, and then they lamented. It's not a word that we talk about a lot. I mean, I kind of am like, what does that word mean? I think that Michael told us. But it's all throughout the scripture of the people of God lamenting. And it is a very common response to suffering. And I think that it was a good word that Michael gave us, that we need to be better at lamenting. And Nehemiah's lamenting, what it did was it helped him identify more with the people of God. And it helped the people respond to him in kind. He's stepping into that suffering. When I was suffering, my parents died and it was a crazy time. And people, even if I kind of hardly knew them, I mean, I don't totally remember every interaction, so I apologize if you're thinking, if you mentioned something to me and I don't remember, but it made a deep impact on me. When so many people came to my mom's memorial service, and some people that I didn't feel necessarily that close to, but it made a deep impact on me that people would enter into my suffering and serve me in that way. When someone's suffering and you can step into that, it helps you to identify more with them and them to connect and resonate with you in a much deeper way than I think we do on an everyday sort of kind of, I feel like it's the difference between talking and then you know, this like really connecting with people, which sometimes it's not all about like the words that you exchange, but it's like this deeper kind of emotion and psychology going on. And so I think his prayer, and I consider lament part of prayer, his prayer and lament made the people of God in Jerusalem that he was leading. It made them his people, and it made him their people. These guys were community. The other thing that helped him is he knew the context. He knew that it wasn't just the specific context of these Jews. These guys didn't just, you know, they had been, some of them had been staying there, some of them were coming from out of town, but he was listening to their stories and understanding how it had been. How had it been for them under the other governors of Judah? It had not been that good. And now he knows that God is calling him and them to this work of doing the building the wall, which is hard work. And he knew that these governors had put this heavy, heavy burden on the people. And it says that it was some from the fear of God, which I think fear, I'm like, ooh, I don't, you know, I'm not afraid of things, and I don't, it's not about fear, but it's more of a, I think in that culture, in that context, fear is not that same kind of fear. It's more of an awe of who God is and what God can do. But it also says that it was because of his not wanting to put a heavy burden on the people. He was familiar with the burden that was already on these people. When someone's suffering, your first reaction, I really don't care who you are, is not like, how can I make that worse? Or, you know, is this really all about you? I think we need a little bit about me. You know, that's just not how we as humans are wired to respond to suffering. I think when we see suffering, in a lot of ways, we want to help alleviate that. A lot of times we have no idea how to do that, and we're really afraid we're going to F it up and, you know, well, I'm glad I said F and I didn't say something else. Hey, all right. But I probably shouldn't have said that either. Well, they know when you give me the mic, you never know what's going to happen. But you really, because you feel like the stakes are high. Somebody's suffering and you don't want to make it worse. And I think that Nehemiah has all of that going on for him. And then the work. A lot of these governors, like I said, a lot of the people in their household, those people, the work they have is to go get everything from all the other people. That doesn't actually produce any of that stuff. It's not cultivating a field. It's not doing any business. They're not doing any of that. Their whole work is just basically to extort things out of people who can barely afford it. And Nehemiah doesn't have people like that in his household. Nehemiah's servants are at the work of building the wall. And Nehemiah himself is shoulder to shoulder with these people about doing the work of building the wall. It's not that Nehemiah is saying, well, there's this work that needs to be done. Why don't you guys go do that? I'm going to, you know, manage over here and just make sure everything's like working the way that I want. He's actually doing it. And he even says, I didn't get a house. I didn't build up my household. These governors and satraps and the king are constantly expanding their own net worth. If you are a governor and you are not expanding your own worth, you are doing something wrong because you're not going to be necessarily a governor forever. They had terms. So then once you're off, what are you going to do? You're going to need to have a lot of stuff that you've accumulated all during that time. And he's not doing that. Instead, he's not about the work of protecting himself. He's about this work of working alongside the people. And I think that all of these things give him this deep identity with God and with the people of God. And it's those two things that help drive him to make the decisions that he does in this passage. And I would say that what that looks like, what he decides to do is to not take what he could. He could have taken all that list of food that was listed there. He could have made all the people give him that every month or I think every month or week, whatever it was. But he didn't do that. Instead, he got that on his own. Or he had it supplied from the king. I mean, he doesn't explicitly say where he got it. Obviously, people ate. Obviously, his household ate. But he didn't extract it from the people. Instead, he didn't want to put that burden on them. And what this really makes me think of, as I think of how Nehemiah got here making this decision, it reminds me of James. And one of the early verses in James is, "Welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls." And I think that what Nehemiah does here is the fruit of having the implanted word, having that implanted word of the history of God, having the, you know, implanted word of community. I do believe that our community is an implanted, it is how God speaks to me. I think it's how God speaks to us. They're speaking into one another's lives. And that implanted word is bearing fruit. And it's bearing fruit, the fruit of integrity. For myself, I really like integrity. I always want to be like someone with integrity in my mind, or I mean, in my actions, obviously, too. In your own mind, it's pretty easy to have integrity. Even probably crazy people feel that way. And but I don't think integrity is what Nehemiah was striving for. It wasn't like, oh, how can I be a really good governor and have integrity? He's connected to God. He's called to the work. He's called to the people. And he's doing the work with the people. The result of all of those things is somebody who leads with integrity. And that's what he does. And so I think it's good for us to remember, you know, James, and not just every sermon series, we just like move on to the next thing, but to continue to cultivate those words that we have received, and again, allow God to implant, you know, with meekness, these words in us, that we might bear the fruit. Instead of striving for, let me be somebody of integrity, cultivate relationship with God and relationship with your community. And I really believe that integrity is something that will be the consequence of that. Now, Nehemiah is not, you know, a ding-dong, right? He recognizes there's a power dynamic. There is something going on. He's a governor. They're the lower-down people hierarchically. And he could extract that from them. So he has this entitlement. And he doesn't, what I really appreciate about it is he doesn't just say, well, let me just abdicate my governorship. Let me just forget that. Let me just go work with the people. And I think for me, as somebody, I'm white, obviously that brings in our culture some entitlement. I come from, and my parents were educated and went to college. That brings me, that's an entitlement that I have. And it was expected that I go to college. So I have my own personal entitlements. And so for me, it's not that he just rejects entitlements, but he does try to work in the system and bring justice where he can. And the fruit of that, his response, is a good thing for the people. Instead of a heavy burden, they don't have that heavy burden. They just have, I mean, the other heavy burden of building and doing this heavy work. And I think that we have to be connected to God to know where God is calling us and what choices to make. It would be so easy if I could just look at all the other people who are like me and be like, okay, what are they doing? How did they do it? Let me go do that. Okay, oh, let me go be a vice principal at Berkeley High School. Well, if you know anything about that job, you know that is not something I could do. I would not last very long. But I could look around and see like, okay, let me work with at-risk youth. Let me go do that, because I see other people who are like me doing that, so I can just do that. And it takes kind of like, I don't have to listen or be engaged. I can just, let me just go do that, and I'll do it, and then all the decisions are made. But that maybe isn't the thing that God is calling me to. So each one of us has to engage with God about what is the work that God is calling you to. And when we're doing our work with integrity, there should be a benefit to our community, as there was for Nehemiah. Recently, I just finished this 40-week thing. It's called the Spiritual Exercises. It's like, this is a long story short, but there's this guy, Ignatius. He was a saint from a long time ago. He worked out these this kind of praying and this kind of method of doing this praying. And I did it over these 40 weeks. And you pray every day, and once a week you go and meet with a spiritual director. And I thought to myself, oh yeah, this is really good. Internally, I felt a deep shift in my own soul. But I thought kind of like, oh, but this is really just for me. It's for my personal relationship with God. This is how I'm connecting to God, and this is really just about me and God. And then I was actually talking with someone else about the spiritual exercises and how did I like them. And I said, oh, yeah, they're good. You know, I think it's really just, it's a real internal thing. And they were like, well, has anything changed? And someone else, another friend of mine said, oh, yeah, something's changed. And I was like, whoa, I didn't even realize that I had changed that much on the outside. But, you know, if you feel like I'm different from last year to this year, in a good way, let's call it that. If it's a bad way, it probably wasn't that. But that's what happens. That connection with God, that it draws us deeper into that connecting with one another. And so the results of leading with integrity draw us deeper into both community and to God. If the leading out, if you think the work that God has called you to means you by yourself alone, kind of doing it, you're getting exhausted, you're getting burnt out, that might not be the work that God is calling you to. I really believe that the work God calls us to is abundant life for each one of us. And that means that, like, probably my day job of working at Pete's would not be abundant life to many of you. It would be, like, boring life of sitting at a computer all day with, you know, just doing that. But for me, it can be abundant life, because that is the work that God has called me to. But if you're totally drained and you're getting nothing from the work that God has called you to, yet you're sure that God has called you to that, I would then say, like, maybe you should consider, is that drawing you into community? Is that drawing you into a deeper place of community with other people? Because if not, if that is the work God called you to, God called other people in the community to that work too. God doesn't call us to be out on our own, exhausting ourselves and doing it alone. Nehemiah could have been like, well, I'm the governor, and there's like this separation. There's these barriers between me and the people, but instead he jumped in and he did it. And he made mistakes, right? There was time where he was maybe charging interest, and it was like, whoops, we shouldn't have been doing that, and he stopped doing that. Like, we all make mistakes. It's messy. But that's how we need to be responding to the word that we hear from God. And if your community all is like, I don't think, you know, I mean, if you feel like God is like calling you to be, you know, to do something that compromises your morals, but you just feel like, oh, it's just for this second, but maybe this is the thing that God has for me because it's hard. I think sometimes we think God calls us to hard things, or if something feels uncomfortable, then that might be the thing that God is saying. But that's not true. Friends, God calls us to abundant life. That is the work. And it sounds like building a wall, that sounds like the total pits in like super hot weather, even worse. Like, you basically can't do anything in like 100 degree heat in a mud hut. I mean, I lived in Zambia, so when it was hot, you literally everyone sat around in the shade. That is all that you did. And you waited for the evening or the later afternoon when it would not be so hot. But doing that work is hard, but it was abundant life to these people because it was the work that God called them to. So I would ask, do you know what your work is? You know, someone like me, I've been asking myself that because my job is so meh and all of that. You know, and that I've had so many different jobs that I've done at church, I've really started, before I would just be like, oh yeah, I'm a square peg, I could fit in that, I'll go do that. And I think that that was good for that season of my life, which would have, that season coming right up to right now. But I really feel like these spiritual exercises have put a shift in me, right? So I am trying to not just what's something I can do, but what are those things that bring life to me? And I think that there's a lot of work to be done, and we do need to do the work. But we are in this community, and if God's not calling me to that work, God is calling one of you to that work. So I don't have to do it all. It's not really about me. Someone else can do it. So I would say, as if you don't know what your work is, then you should pray and you should read the word. You should be in the word with, in Bible study, or just talk with people. You don't even need to be in like be in a Discover group. It's really good to do. But you don't have, that's not the only place where you can read God's word and have it impact your life. And step, if you are not suffering, step into lament. Look around our nation. There is plenty to feel not super great about. And don't, not in the depressing, nothing's ever going to get better, but in a, God, where are you? God, where are you calling me? You know, our hearts, the hearts of the Christian community, all of us, and like for someone like me, a white, entitled, privileged person, my heart should be breaking for the place that our society is in. And if it's not, I mean, that is part of the work God is calling me to. Because I'm not the person who's suffering. I'm not the person that gets pulled over in my neighborhood. I'm not the person that gets watched in a store. I'm not the person who people in my community are being, you know, shot in the streets. That's not happening to me. But it's happening to my brothers and sisters. And for me, lament is part of the work that God's calling me to. So if you're not sure what your work of the wall right now is, God is calling us all to build the kingdom, and lament is part of that. So I would encourage you to do that. But maybe you already know what your work is. I got this, you know, bomb justice job. It's like, I mean, it's hard and, you know, exhausting and all that, but it's really great. And if that's you, then set your shoulder to the work. And let's build the kingdom of God. Because that's what our work is. Each one of us is going to be called to do something. We fill our days, we fill our lives with stuff to do. Whatever that work is, set your shoulder to it, but don't do it alone. I would really encourage you, if you are doing work, it is bound to be boring sometimes, or be lame sometimes, or not be hopeful. And it is your brothers and sisters and your community that can help encourage you to see the hope that we have, that we are building the kingdom of God. And while it is not perfect right now, and we've done some, and God's done it, and then, but there's still more to come. But it's hopeful work, and it can really be abundant life, not just for you, but for us, for our whole community. We need to feel that we're experiencing that abundant life. Thanks.